Look, I'm not going to tell Chris how to do his job. He's great at it, but it needs to have the Karate Kid music in it. It can't just be this is a spoiler. We're going to need to have a little Daniel LaRusso's about to get his butt kicked music.
I can't believe Daniel LaRusso got injured in episode 4 15 minutes through.
Don't do it, Al. Don't do it. Don't look. There are some of us that take this stuff very seriously. Oh, this is great, by the way. So we were just talking. Taylor did it in Did You See That Crystal Pepsi is making a comeback.
Yeah.
Matthew Palazzi writes, Trav, the fad that needs to come back is Zima. Were you ever a Zima guy, Al? Because here's the rub, right? The problem with Zima, mm-hmm. It was so far ahead of its time. They were so far. Zima.
You're right.
Zima is White Claw. Zima is Truly. Zima
You're right.
is every hard seltzer that is packed in your liquor store right now, the grocery store.
It came out of nowhere and kind of took over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for like what, a day? A month? Tops? It came and went fast. But this was like in the early 90s. Emily's shaking her head. She has no idea what we're talking about right now. Zima was beer, basically, that came in a clear bottle, not a green bottle or like a Corona cup, you know, clear glass. And the contents, it looked like 7-Up. It was clear. It looked like a hard seltzer. It didn't look like beer or anything else.
Like a citrus beverage or...
Right. And it was a malted beverage that wasn't beer, that was an alternative to beer. It was basically hard seltzer before hard seltzer was.
Yeah, she's not going to know what the hell it is. But you're right. That seltzer is one
fan.
That... I did see... I was just looking this up right now. Get ready to drink like it's the 90s. Zima's returning to shelves. Did it come back?
But it can't come back because it's been lapped by everything else. Like, why am I going – unless you're me.
Came back too late.
You're going, like, retro, like, hey, let's pretend it's 1993.
Oh, that was
again.
2018. That article was from 2018. So maybe they came back a few years ago.
It didn't quite have the impact it did the second time around. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Ecto Cooler and Crunch Taters are what need to be back full time. That's from John of Fullerton. Everybody had their snack of their era, right? Like, Everybody had that thing. Like, remember, just those little teeny Frito bags were a regular in the Rogers household. I loved that little bag of Fritos and a Coke when you got home from school. Was there anything better than that? It's probably 9,000 calories in 4 minutes, but damn if it wasn't good.
Cheez-Its, I had no control.
Oh.
No control over Cheez-Its. No control.
Don't.
I mean, just an absolute mess. How about those cheese puffs? You know, those that come in like the, and just open it up, and it's perfect for your entire hand to go all the way down to the elbow. So you can just
grab
as much as you can, get the tub, and there's just cheese all along your arm because you're getting towards the end. Yeah. So
okay. I have a fad, though, before we move on. Ketchup that was different colors.
Ugh.
Like the purple ketchup, the green ketchup. Is that a part of what you guys saw?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I remember that, Emily, but Middle Eastern
household, we played it very safe. Just everything was very safe.
You'd have your chicken nuggets with purple ketchup. It was a game changer.
I'm going to take a guess. Don't answer that question, Al. Was there ever a bag of chicken nuggets in your house? I'm going to say no.
A bag of chicken nuggets. Yeah. Yeah, there were.
Okay. I would have gotten that one wrong. So what? You weren't dipping them in the purple ketchup?
No.
You just straight barbecue sauce? What are we doing?
Ketchup.
All right.
Just regular
That's
ketchup.
Fine. That's fine, I guess. I think barbecue sauce is better, but ketchup will work in that situation. Who gets their number retired next? We were talking Fernando. You know who else is a great choice? And I'll get on my high horse on this in a little bit. Steve Garvey's a great choice, too. Garvey was a great player for a long time for the Dodgers, part of championship teams, an MVP, multiple-time All-Star. If Garvey 6 was hanging out there, I wouldn't mind at all. And unlike Fernando, like nobody's worn Fernando's 34. A lot of people have worn Garvey 6. We've seen Garvey's number kind of get cycled through for the years, but I would be 100% okay with Garvey. Let me throw this one at you real quick, Al, before we go to the phones. LeBron James, when it's all said and done, LeBron James's number will hang at Crypto.com Arena, or whatever it's called by the time LeBron's done.
It will hang. It will hang in Cleveland, it will hang in Miami, and it will hang in L.A.
No question about it. Should it?
Yeah.
Should LeBron have his Laker? Because he's won a championship. He's been a great player for the Lakers, but it's at the end of a very long, prolific career. But as much as I love LeBron, and I have from the moment he's come in, I still think of him as a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. When I close my eyes and think of LeBron, I think of him as a Cav.
Which is okay. You could think of him, you know, it makes sense. You understand it. Ultimately, it just came down to this for the Lakers. They were at the absolute bottom. He came to this Lakers organization. They turned things around. They tied championship. They tied this Boston Celtics, got championship number 17. You know, it's a franchise that everything is based off winning. Everything is. So Wilt Chamberlain has his jersey retired at Crypto.com Arena. He played for the Lakers. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. It's either 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. and they won a championship. I don't think that's that much different than Braun's position here. But listen, will you think of LeBron the way you thought of Shaq? No, of course not. Will you think of LeBron the way you thought of Magic or Kareem or with Kobe or with Jamal Wilkes and some of these other, you know, great players after their jersey retired? You won't, and you're not supposed to. But LeBron James has a chapter in Lakers history that equaled a championship. And that chapter is incredibly important. It was also at a time where the franchise was as low as they've ever been.
And it's not done. I think that's important to keep in mind, too. It's not done. We'll see what happens this year, what happens next year, and beyond. But it's the story has not been written yet. I'm curious what Laker fans think about that. 877-710-ESPN on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's go to Reseda. Well, why not Reseda, the home of Daniel LaRusso. Jose in Reseda. Jose, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Good, Jose. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, thank you. And you guys haven't ruined Cobra Kai for me. I'm still watching. But, yeah, just to touch base on the Fernando Valenzuela thing, man. Got a little story, man. When I was 6 years old, my dad took me to a ball game with him and a bunch of his buddies. And I didn't know anything about baseball, sitting in the outfield in the pavilion, you know, falling asleep on his lap and just remember watching this dude pitching on the mound, right? And I'm thinking, you know, who's this guy and whatever. Years later, obviously, you know, found out who Fernando Valenzuela was. But ever since that day, dude, I fell in love with baseball. I asked my dad to go to the park all the time. We'd be always at Reseda Park playing baseball. You know, I played baseball all the way up through high school. And he's the main reason why. And there's tons of guys like me out there. You know, we're in Los Angeles, you know, great, obviously, Mexican population. But he's the reason why so many Latinos, Mexicans love baseball. And just based on that alone, it's just incredible that his number has not been retired. And I know they only retire guys who've been in the Hall of Fame, but like you said, nobody's ever worn his number 34. So I just think it's time they retire his number. It'd mean a great deal to, you know, to the community, to the city of Los Angeles, who if you go to a ball game, you see tons of Fernando Valenzuela jerseys every single day, every single ball game. So it's just great that what he did to the city. He's a legend.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it, Jose.
Thank you for the call. Great story.
And your story about your dad and you wanting to go to the park and play catch and, you know, because of Fernando, I guarantee you are one of thousands of kids in Los Angeles who had the exact same experience because of Fernando Valenzuela. And that's why it's an absolute no-brainer. Yeah, I mean, he's a legend. That's it right there. And the Dodgers only have one player, Jim Gilliam, that is not in the Hall of Fame, and Jim Gilliam died suddenly and tragically in an accident, and they retired. So you don't have to have – there's no set policy about this, and I think what Jose said, Al, is exactly right. Fernando Valenzuela is a legend of the Dodgers, of the city, and there would be absolutely no downside to having that and an incredible amount of upside.
If you're the Dodgers organization, you don't have control – over who becomes a Hall of Famer and who doesn't. But what you do have control of what you do for your own franchise. And I think, look, there are always exceptions to the rule, always. And if that's something, again, I'm going to go back to this because we hit on it a little bit earlier. How does it feel when you say it? If you said that there's a certain player who's going to get their jersey retired, I could make a case for some Laker players. And I think if I make a case really, really strong for this player, you can have a counter argument from somebody else on the other side, and so neither of us would be wrong. You know, you're just talking about that player. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody's going to make that argument for Fernando. And I think that to me is what stands out more. And there are certain players that have an impact past what they did on the court or what they did on the field. Jose is just one example of one person who at a young age got to be a part of that mix. And today, still today, does it still have that impact? Those are the type of players that you should have retired. I love the way he said, you go to a Dodger game, Trav, yeah, you see Mookie's. You see Mookie's jersey. Yep. You see Kershaw's. Yep. You see Kenley. Of course. You see go down the list. Bellinger. Yeah. You see all them. But you also see Fernando's jersey today. That's damn impactful.
And he's still a part of the family. He's still, I mean, he calls games on the radio for the Dodgers. I mean, he's still a very active member of the Dodger community. Let's try one more very quickly here. Let's go stay in the Valley. I'm kind of feeling my Daniel LaRusso roots right now. The All Valley will stay in the Valley, the San Fernando Valley, and Raul. Raul, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Beautiful. I am a big Karate Kid fan, just like you grew up with it. Real quick, when are you guys going to beat Mason in Ireland in a 2-on-2 basketball game? And then to agree with you, Travis, it's a shame that Steve Garvey hasn't been in the Hall of Fame or whatever. I'm talking, his jersey should have been retired years ago.
Garvey was a legend, too.
Yeah. And Fernando, what he did for Spanish simulcasting, he boosted the sport big time. But real quick, now what about Robert Horry as far as one of those other players being retired? And if you were going to retire his jersey and you had to pick what team, what would it be? Would it be Houston, L.A., or San Antonio?
Appreciate you calling in. First of all, if we're going to go 2-on-2 with Mason and Ireland, we got to get Ireland off the three-point line. I heard he's a deadly shooter, so I'm already
can Ireland
game
shoot?
Planning. Yeah, I think Michael has said – plenty of times on the broadcast, I think, where did he go to high school? Corona Del Mar, something like that. He's like,
well, of course, he's always a CDM guy. He's a Newport Beach CDMer. He's a one percenter.
He'll always tell John. He'll always say, "Look at him hitting shots like you at Corona Del Mar." So right out the gate, we got to get him off the 3-point line. I'm already scouting him.
All right.
Okay. So as far as Robert Horry, so it's interesting because Horry, I remember as a Laker. Right? Like, obviously he had so much success with the Lakers, but he also won a couple chips with the Houston Rockets. And he won, how many win with the San Antonio Spurs? See, he won 3 with the Lakers, so he had to have won 2 with the Spurs, I think, because he has 7.
You've got 2 with the Rockets.
Yep. So the only hesitation I have with Robert Horry, but I think then you start getting into this, Trav, you start getting into this, you start getting into this area where it's really, really a gray area. Because if you're going to make a case for Horry, you're going to make a case for Fish. If you're making a case for Fish, how are you not talking about Michael Cooper? If you're talking about Michael Cooper, can you make an argument for an AC Grant? I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah,
like
no,
guys that
if
were,
this guy's in, then that guy should be in.
And I think that's where I think well, maybe these players should not have their jerseys retired because there's that many question marks. But if he gets in, then this guy does. And I think with Fernando, you've kind of mentioned this. I think for the Lakers, what they've done and how they've done it is the right thing. I think Bron is going to get his jersey retired. I don't think there's any question about it. I think there's Powell is going to happen. All of those are no-brainers, and that's the one thing I think the Lakers have done. You cannot argue of any of those jerseys up there. Now, you can open it up a little bit, but if you open it up to Horry or D. Fish, you better start opening it up to other role players that had significant impact as well.
Yeah, well, you kind of made the case for what I've said about the Hall of Fame for all of these sports for a very long time. If there's any debate at all, the answer is no, right? The Hall of Fame should be for Kobe Bryant and LeBron James and Magic Johnson. Those are if you're on that, that's the Hall of Fame. Because to your other point, it's a perfect one. I hate this argument. This happens a lot in the Baseball Hall of Fame. They have the most home runs, strikeouts, RBIs of anybody not in the Hall of Fame. Do you know who gets in the Hall of Fame under that rule? Everybody, because there's always the next guy that has as many as the only guy that's not in. So if you put him in, is the next guy in? Well, everybody that's got the same amount, it's a bad way to look at it. I like how exclusive the Lakers are. I like how exclusive the Dodgers are. But that's why Fernando needs to be in there, because he's a no-brainer. He isn't. Fernando, let me put it this way. Fernando Valenzuela is not a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. He did not have a career that should put him in Cooperstown based on his accomplishments. It was a good career, not a great career, statistically speaking. But in the city of Los Angeles, it's a no-brainer, no doubt, 100%. Put him in. Don't give it a second thought, because it was just a great career and all the cultural significance.
And that's my point about you can control your own organization and what you do. You can't control the Hall of Fame, but you can give him what you feel like he earned for your squad, for your city, and everything else that comes with it.
All right, we should ask DeMarco Farr if he should have his number hanging up at SoFi. He's going to join us next. We'll talk about retired numbers, and we'll get his thoughts on how the Rams finally get their way through the San Francisco 49ers. That's coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, the Rams have the San Francisco 49ers week 18 of the NFL season coming up on Sunday afternoon, 1:25. They haven't beaten San Francisco in five consecutive games. We'll get to that in a second. DeMarco Farr, the Super Bowl champ, joining us right now. But before we get into the Niners, DeMarco, Al and I were having a conversation about retired numbers. Is your number 75 hanging anywhere, like in a bar or a grocery store or something somewhere that you've done some serious damage in?
Oh, yes, it is. There's one at my high school. I know I have a plaque, but it's a team plaque up at UW. My pro jersey was hanging in a place in St. Louis, but I can't tell you where.
The man right there.
Okay, you don't have to tell me where.
I'll just say right by the DJ booth. I'll just leave it there.
Okay, there you go. I was going to say, is it a place where we could go see it, or is it hidden? But you answered the question.
Yeah, we could. All three of us talking. We could definitely go there.
Perfect. All right, so take me through it, DeMarco. The Rams, you know, it's like three different seasons. There was the 7-1 season. There was the 0-3 season. Now we're on a five-game winning streak season. Which one are we going to get on Sunday against the Niners? Because they haven't beaten them in 3 years.
Great question. You know, I just got off the phone or broadcast with J.B. Long, and I said the same thing about Sean McVay. I wonder why he doesn't get, and I'm not sure if he should win Coach of the Year, but why aren't people talking about him as far as being in the running for Coach of the Year? Think about it, man. This team was completely different around Halloween. And then it switched personnel-wise, and everything kind of went south for three games. And then you found a way out of it, and you've won four straight. He's coached like six different versions of the same football team. And if you win on Sunday, that's 13 wins this year. If that's not great coaching, I don't know what is, but I'm right there with you, man. I mean, you could boil it down this way. Which Matthew Stafford are you going to see? The first seven games or the three-game losing streak guy? I don't know. But either way, it's going to be a hell of a game on Sunday.
DeMarco, I guess I might be in my own little world here, but I don't know how sold I still am on the Rams. And this is what I'm curious on. For those who have some hesitancy on the Rams, I just look at the last 2 weeks. Look, they're W's, no question about it. And you won at Minnesota and you won at Baltimore. But I think if you look a little bit closer, those are dangerous wins. And I know it's not just the turnovers tell a big part of the story. There's six turnovers in their last two games, at least from Matt Stafford. How much do you look at this team and say, man, this team can go out and beat anyone in the NFL? Or do you also still have some hesitancy that, you know what, there are teams out there, no question about it, that if the Rams just don't play really good football or have a couple turnovers, they're out of the mix and the season is over. How sold are you versus how confident are you that they will make a deep run?
To be honest, the only team that gives me pause is Green Bay, and you have to go through there. One, because Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his mind. He's great, and he's playing great football, and you got to go to Lambeau to get him out of there. So that's hard, and you've already lost there. So Green Bay aside, I don't think there's a team out there that the Rams can't beat. Even if they turn the ball over, I still think you have enough pieces to dig yourself out of a hole. I don't think they get enough credit for what just went down in Baltimore to come away with a victory. I mean, for how it happened, you turned it over three times and you took the lead at the very end to win that game with a team that was desperate and a fan base that was just about fed up, and they had a lot to play for. So I'd rather take a one-point win coming out of Baltimore, that emotional lift, than blowing them out by 35 points. I think that did more for this football team than if Matthew Stafford didn't turn it over and you scored 40 points down there.
All right, DeMarco Farr joining us, Super Bowl champ. Of course, he's on the broadcast each and every week. DeMarco, Von Miller was talking, and he was talking about the differences between his time here in Los Angeles and when he was in Denver. And
I'm going to kind of summarize. What he said in Denver was, after we'd lose a game, it was always, well, we need to double down on this. We need to play harder on this. We need to add more of this or do less of that. There was this constant tinkering with what it is they were doing. And he says with the Rams, it's just so even-keeled, so consistent that the methodology that they have, that the culture that they have, the approach they have. Is that kind of what you're talking about with Sean McVay? That is that the secret sauce to what he does, is that there's not this constant reacting to what happened last, that he has a plan, he has an idea, and we're going to work the plan and work the idea until we get what we want?
Yeah, it's got to be, to me, because that's what I see. And it's not, I mean, he comes up with great cliches and he's great with the media, but all that stuff still applies. I mean, be at your best when your best is required. I mean, I know that's something you could put on your T-shirt, but that's real. You have to be ready when your name is called. Think about the last couple of weeks on the offensive line in particular. You don't have a left tackle. Andrew Whitworth is out, so you slide your guard out. You lose somebody there, and you have to make a three-person change to your offensive line, and you don't miss a beat. You switched right tackles, I think, 3 weeks in a row, and you didn't miss a beat. So, you know, all that stuff applies. So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing they haven't gone through that's going to rattle them, playing in a different country, playing in different time zones, having to come all the way back across the country and play in the early window. They've been through all this. And when you consider what goes on around the team, like the medical staff, think about this. Cam Akers blew out his Achilles. That was a death sentence in the NFL just a year ago. He's got a shot, or he's going to play this weekend. And he's coming back with fresh legs right when you start a postseason march. Tell me you wouldn't want that as an offensive coordinator or a quarterback. So, yeah, it's just they've been through a lot. He's great at leading men, and he actually works at and tries to get better at being a head coach. So I could see what Von Miller is talking about. Other places, it's not like that, not even by a long shot.
DeMarco, how big is – I'm going to kind of make sure I explain this the right way. How big is Sunday? Because you said that you think they could beat any team – other than the Green Bay Packers, is a team that, you know, will give you – you get worried about. From a standings perspective and who they eventually play in the playoffs, do you think this is one of those games where, no, you have to go beat the 49ers because then you get a game, at least one game at SoFi Stadium, matchup-wise and everything else? If you're not worried about the Cowboys and some of these other squads, do you feel like beating the 49ers is – incredibly important, or you know what, even if they lost a close game, 27-24, the world's not going to end?
Yeah, this is like final boss level of a video game where you get the glow. This is the last dragon. This is your last hurdle. The 49ers have your number. I believe the 49ers are what, 1-4 in the NFC West?
Yep.
The only team they can beat is you. So that's got to wear on you mentally. And the last game up there was a no contest. Jimmy Garoppolo was about as safe as you can be as a professional quarterback, throwing from one spot, hitting George Kittle on the move, and there was like nothing you could do about it. So even if you're not fully invested in this Rams 49er rivalry, if you don't go, you know, as far back as say 10, 20 years, just that game alone would be enough to say, I want to see those guys again. They ran you off the field. So this team is prideful, it's competitive, and they want some get back. So from that standpoint, you want to see the Niners again. But the last thing you want to do is drop another one to them because your confidence will be shot. This will change everything. If you win, I'm fully convinced the Rams have a chance to wind up in Green Bay for the NFC Championship. If they lose this game, then it'll damage their confidence moving forward, and then anything can happen.
DeMarco, this is either a great question or the worst question. I can't decide which it is. Because if it were a one-off that they got pushed around last time they played, and like you said, it was a no contest, you can kind of chalk it up to, it's one of those things. It's the NFL. You have a bad week. The other team has a good week, whatever. It's five in a row. And it's been kind of the same way five times in a row. That there's been, it hasn't all been lopsided like that, but the Niners have been the more physical team. Why? What is it about that matchup that goes so poorly for the Rams?
Well, J.B. Long has been saying it, and it makes me laugh. The next time you beat Jimmy Garoppolo, it'll be the first time. So we're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. We're not
Nick
talking
Mullins
about Tom
too.
Brady. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. I think that has more to do with you than them. I think it's, look, you're going to get sick of losing to the same guys over and over and over again. So this is your last opportunity. And Aaron Donald, and just this team as a whole, this might be your last best opportunity to get this monkey off your back once and for all. To beat them when they have a lot to play for. Lose and they're done. Lose and they're on vacation. So, you know, forget about the first matchup for a second. You have an opportunity to really put it to them and send them into the offseason. That changes this rivalry, this last five-game win streak. This will turn it on its head. This will change it back the other way. You just have to get it done in SoFi.
DeMarco, I'm going to squeeze in one quick one here. What did you think? The reporter, Hub Arkush, who basically said that he does not want to see Aaron Rodgers win. He wouldn't vote for him. Just your thoughts on it real quick. We touched on it a little bit yesterday. I know more has come out today. What was your thoughts on that?
Well, I totally understand where he's coming from. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has turned a lot of people off. But it's not about that. It's about what you see on the field. And is there anybody else playing better than Aaron Rodgers right now? I mean, he is clearly the guy, but you can't let your personal politics filter into your player of the year or your MVP voting. That's just wrong. But I get where he's coming from. I want to punch Aaron Rodgers in the mouth, too. But I also want him as my quarterback.
But at least you could separate it, because I think what you said is exactly right. His job is not to win a popularity contest. It's who's the most valuable player in the NFL. So. Now it's interesting. It's kind of an interesting back and forth between those two.
One more before we let you go, DeMarco, very quickly. We were talking about retired numbers here in LA. And who's next? Aaron Donald's number is going to be retired. I don't think there's any question about that. Is there another LA Ram that you can see coming down the pipe, or maybe somebody that's already been here that you would like to see have their number retired that hasn't?
I'm so glad you said this. Think about this. When we talk about Aaron Donald and how he's a force of nature, right? So every team knows he's coming, and you have a game plan designed to stop him, and he continues to wreck shop, right? He continues to destroy and disrupt. Well, you can say the same thing about Cooper Kupp. Everyone knows he's getting the football. Everyone knows. Even Sean McVay said it. The entire offense goes through this guy, and you still can't stop him from getting the football. He's about to win the Triple Cup. So Aaron Donald's jersey, definitely. Johnny Hecker, if you like the special teams parts because of the entirety of his career. But don't sleep, and we may be at the embryo stage of a run by Cooper Kupp. So I would say that guy might be next.
He is a Super Bowl champ. He's on the sidelines or in the booth for each and every LA Rams game. DeMarco Farr. DeMarco, always a pleasure. Thanks, bud.
Thank you, man.
You got it, guys. You got it, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, you got it. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com. No to Johnny Hecker. No. Look, we got to get a couple other ones up there. I'm not saying we say no forever. I'm saying we say no for right now. We can reevaluate that as the Rams grow deeper roots here in Los Angeles over the next, I don't know, 50 years or so, but no. Aaron Donald, yes, we'll wait on the rest. Maybe Cooper Kupp. Factor Cap coming up next. Do you like to take the food directly from the delivery driver? That's next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
One singular cap. I know that Alan's wearing a Raider cap right now, so he's gonna get that tattoo pretty soon.
Yeah, no, that's my team.
That's my team. Yes,
what do you want me to do?
So up first,
Raider Nation, ride or die.
Raider Nation. It's always been like that. Nothing's changed.
Since I've been working from home, I've been doing a little bit more delivery, maybe getting myself lunch or breakfast since I've been here. So, you prefer to meet a delivery driver when they give you the food rather than just waiting for them to drop it on your porch and leave. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Cap. I want it left on my front door. We have a little table by our front door for things that can be placed on it. It's got some decorative things on it. But, no, leave my burrito and Mexican Coke next to the front door. We don't need to get to know each other, okay? I don't need to, hey, how you doing? Thanks so much. All right, enjoy the rest of your
grab
day.
Grab a soda.
Yeah, I don't need that. This is purely transactional. I need to hit the button on the app. I need to get the notification on my phone that the food's been dropped off and open my door, take it off the table, and that's it. I do not need to meet any. I like the interaction with the waiter in a restaurant, but I'm door dashing or Uber Eatsing for a reason. I don't need human contact at that point.
How often do you order? How often do you
From a delivery app?
Yeah. Once a month, a couple times a month?
I'd say two times a month is probably average, maybe three.
Is this weird that I never use the apps? I never use them.
That's what you said. Yeah, that's odd to me. They're
maybe,
pretty convenient, Al. You should maybe get on board with this.
But here's the thing. Maybe because everything is so close to me, I just don't need them. Like, by the time – I think there is the –
Yeah, but
you know,
you
want
pants, shoes.
Got to put on pants. I love that. That was the – that's the only thing that was left there. You got to put on pants. I could see you, by the way, grabbing the food at your front porch and just – no shirt on, wearing just boxers, and the guy hasn't left yet. You thought he left. It's like, oh,
even,
geez.
Even around the house, I keep my shirt on. But I do look through the peephole like, nope, nobody there. I could be strolling around in my shorts.
Okay.
That's fine.
Explain this one to me. So it's different, I think, if you live at a home and you decide, okay, let me leave the food out here because I know it's my porch, something along those lines. Condo complex that my girlfriend is in, okay?
Okay.
There's, you know, decent amount of units. There's a lot of times you walk in and first there's the door with the lock. You got to go through that and then you're in the lobby. There's a lot of times outside of the door, there's just a box of Pizza Hut or Domino's or something, okay?
Okay.
Or there's, you know, Asian food out there and it's like good food. It looks like really good food. Well, if I'm taking Rookie for a walk and that food is just sitting there, Rookie's going to sniff around and smell what the hell's going on here.
No,
I'm a little surprised that the places of a like, you know, where there's a lot of units here, that they're okay with not meeting the delivery person. Wouldn't you meet the delivery person if you're a place like this so it's not literally sitting outside where people are walking inside and out the entire day?
Yeah, that's a bit of a game. That's a different scenario.
It's a gamble.
It's a gamble where somebody's animal, looking at you, Sliwa, could put the nose around in my bag. Yeah, I don't need that as a part of my life.
Hey, Rookie's sniffing around. That's what he does when I take him for a walk. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a bowl of chicken teriyaki. Of course he's going to sniff at it.
Might get a little sniveling in there, too. Why not?
You know, have you guys, I guess you haven't, Alan, since you don't really use the devices, but recently they've instituted, like, the driver will take a picture of when they leave the food there. But if you go too early, you get caught in the picture. And you look like a little gremlin coming out of your house. Like, that's
I put my arm around him. Like, when, you know, at the Rams pregame, when people come up and want to take a picture, I'm like, hey, what's your name? Let's take a picture together.
Do a selfie.
I just throw them along. Hey, this is me and my DoorDash guy. What's up? Post it on Twitter.
I will, by the way, if the food is outside and I'm coming inside, I will put it in the lobby. You know, just so, like, there isn't three coyotes.
Some random person's food, you're going to put your hands on it.
Isn't that kind of better? Isn't it better to put it in the lobby there? Random person deliver it to them to the front.
I respect the hustle. I respect the politeness of what you're doing.
Like, am I supposed to leave it? Should I leave it?
It's not yours. I don't want somebody, random guy, coming into my building touching my bag. That sounds bad.
Okay, but there's a random person bringing it in here. I'm trying to be a good citizen here.
So a squirrel
or another dog doesn't come in here and go to the food. I'm just putting in the lobby for them.
I am not. You're trying to do the right thing for the
right
reason.
I took one chicken nugget. I took one.
But how do I know some guy just didn't come from a construction site using the porta potty and picks up that bag? Let's just leave the bag on the doorstep. Don't touch anything. If it doesn't have your name on it, leave it alone.
He got 12 wings. There's 8 left. And I took the ranch sauce.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm out on that.
All right. Next. You always get your trash bins off the street as soon as the truck empties them. Alan, is this fact or cap?
This one's different for me. I think this one's going to hit home to Travis a little bit more. Let me just say this. There's a little bit to it. So let me give as an example. Growing up at my parents' house, it's not like you just open the front door and then you're on the street and your trash cans are right there. my parents' house, it's up a driveway. And so you're basically, if there's enough trash in there when you're taking them down, there's a good chance you have no – wherever momentum takes me, momentum's going to take me. That's the driveway, okay? That's it. There's a chance I might get ran over if there's too much in the yard waste.
In the middle of the street, it drags you out.
There might be too much in the yard waste, okay? So I don't think it's a lock or a guarantee to have to grab these things right away, because it genuinely is like a chore to go get them. And by the way, the neighbors next to us – We have a steep driveway. They have a steeper driveway that's even higher. I can't imagine how they do that.
Head on collision if you both take them out at the same time.
You know how you said one of these promos that runs about you with the shopping cart, like you like riding it?
I do. I did it the other day, as a matter of fact.
It would be the wildest ride to try and ride this thing down the driveway. It's not safe. So no, for me, I don't think it's a must right away, but I think, Trav, you're in a different world.
It's fact. I don't have a steep hill that I need to navigate. Look, here's the thing. I'm not saying that when you hear the trash truck rumble down the street and you hear the guy dump it into the back of the truck that you got to run out there and put it away right away. I'm just going to make up some days here. If your trash day is on a Wednesday, let's get the cans off by Thursday. Let's have them out of there by the next day, right?
That's a reasonable amount. Your 24 hours.
Wednesday trash day can't have your trash cans on your curb on Saturday. We're going to need to get that off of here within a day or two. I'm not.
You know what I would do? I got a great idea.
But let's get that out of there.
If I was your neighbor, I would, if they picked it up on Wednesday, now the trash cans are clean, right? I would actually start on Friday when I have full trash. I would go back and just start putting. Why am I going to take them back? They're going to come back in 5 more days. I'm just going to now start using the trash at that location. That becomes where I leave my trash.
I like to make sure that Susan gets him up behind the gate within 24 hours. That's where. Hey, Sue, let's go.
You're
get
not
those
real.
Things behind the gate. Next one, Em.
Yeah, one more quick one. So ESPN is in talks for a version of like the Manning Cast, but it would be A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball. So you would watch that. Travis is his factor cap.
Cap. The Mannings are really unique. They are exceedingly unique in their
and
ability
likeable.
To be. Yeah, to be. Here's what they are. I'm gonna your thing first, Al. They're exceptionally likable, both of them. They're really, really fun guys to listen to. They know football inside and out. They can give each other a hard time in a way that is both funny and a little mean, but not too much. It is a perfect blend of all of those things, and they're really good at calling the football game. They're all of these things. It's impossible to duplicate, and with all due respect to Alex Rodriguez, he ain't that. So, no, I will say cap on that one.
Yeah, I'll hold back on saying with all due respect. No, let me go ahead and disrespect. Not a likable dude. Nobody really cares about him. You want to do a Manning Cast type style? You know, if you did something with Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, yeah, that's – every NBA fan would be like, okay, not only do we like the guys, they say what's on their mind. They have fantastic personalities. They don't hold back. They're really, really good at what they do, but I think the main thing is people like them. Trev, if it ain't A-Rod for baseball, who should it be? Because it can't be A-Rod. Nobody's going to watch that.
Well, he's a little self-serious, which doesn't work in that format. You know who would be really good at it? And I think he broadcasts games for the Phillies right now. John Kruk. Somebody like that would be really good. The problem is, John Kruk, I don't know if he's a big enough name.
I was going to say, that's the problem.
To do it,
yeah.
But Kruk has the personality. I'm sure there are more guys out there given some time to think about it, but baseball's so stuffy to begin with.
Yeah.
That's why when you get the good
Chris
mix,
Taylor. Chris Taylor would be.
I'll tell you what. I'll give a little love to Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser are fantastic. I've said that before. Those guys are so good at that. I really deeply enjoy listening to them call Dodger games.
You're trying to think of, you know, is it David Ortiz or is it Pedro? Is it like you're trying to think of like a combination of guys that you think would have the personality and everything else and
you
are retired?
Guys, You need guys that are funny that aren't constantly trying to hit a home run with a joke. That's sure. the difference. Yep. Those guys are funny just because they are. Charles mm-hmm. Barkley is funny because he is. Shaq yeah. is funny because he is. They're not constantly. Shaq can go the other way. He can try a little too hard at times, but
yeah. But why do you look at me? I don't know why you looked at me that way when you kept saying like trying to be funny, trying to hit a home run every time.
I'm glad you picked up on that. I'm glad that you picked up on what I was saying. All right, Cobra Kai episodes 3 and 4. You've been warned. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Are you driving to Vegas? Are you going to fly like for the Sunday night affair? Are you going to be there, spend the whole weekend? You're just going to go in and out for the game? What's your strategy?
Well, the silver and black bus that I bought 3 years ago, I bought a silver and black bus. And we packed together, I think it seats 45 people, and we usually get about 97 people in there. And I drive it. I drive the bus. I drive it to Vegas. We leave. We meet here in L.A., and we drive directly out there to Vegas. So we're going to get there after the show today is when I start driving for Sunday's game. We're going to start tailgating by midnight tonight.
The Raider fans, like we had a caller yesterday. We were talking about Jim Harbaugh, and he said, "I got 3 Raider tattoos," and he told us where they are and what they are. Your bus that you have,
yep,
silver and black bus. Yes. Sure, it's the Raider Nation yeah. bus. It's just going back
SBB.
And forth I-15 all the time.
Yep, SBB is what we call it.
Raider fans really like to decorate their cars. Like the Raider fans don't have the license plate holder. Raider mm-hmm. fans don't have the car sticker. Raider fans don't have the bumper sticker. They don't have the flags. They got it all. And mm-hmm. the car is black with silver with chrome trim.
And like, they have Raider, 3 tattoos.
Yeah, Raider fans are in, man. You and your brethren of Raider Nation, you guys are not messing around.
No, it's a big one. You know, it's a big one this Sunday, and the game got flexed, so we are very appreciative of that. And now we just got to handle business against a franchise that chokes in big moments, and we'll see if they choke again.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support vets with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping vets in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. All right, I'm going to tell you something about Cobra Kai, Al, episodes 3 and 4, that isn't necessarily permanent, but I'm worried.
Okay.
For the first time in really the series.
Aren't we supposed to play the thing?
Yeah, spoiler alert. I don't know if Chris has had a chance to do it yet. We'll give him a day. It's like the trash cans. You get 24 hours to build this thing. I was bored.
Which part of it?
Episode 3 and 4.
Okay, I'm
answering. I know what you're asking.
Yeah,
I'm answering the question.
Uh huh.
Episodes 3 and 4.
The whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
I don't need to know about anything regarding Mrs. LaRussa. I don't need to know about anything regarding Sam LaRussa, the daughter. I don't need to know anything about the new character that they're developing who has joined Cobra Kai.
I like that guy. I like that guy.
Johnny. I need Johnny. I need Johnny referencing things in the 80s. I need Johnny doing inappropriate things with his students. I need Johnny doing everything that Johnny does, and I need almost all less of everything else. Maybe I could use a little more Terry Silver in my life, but they're going the wrong way. They're doing family. They're doing characters. I need Johnny, Al. That's it. Nothing more.
I don't know. I'm trying to think here if they're – are you there – I don't think you're their target. I don't. I think
Of course I am.
No, I think
I was
already
the guy
know.
That was a teenager when the movies yeah. came out. I am exactly their audience.
I think
audience.
They already know they got you. They already know they have you. So I think they're trying to get – there's another audience that they're trying to get to, which is why they're probably starting to, you know, mix in the family portion of this. I don't know what you're looking for. Are you looking for just like a frat?
Johnny, I've told you. I need him crushing his
I don't think
beers,
this is the show.
Eating ham out of the package
yeah.
and driving around in his Eagle Fang minivan. That's all I need.
How about Jean-Claude Van Damme making a – them airing Bloodsport.
Okay, I like the
callback.
That
was awesome. You know what's funny? That was one of my favorite scenes because it wasn't about them. Like, I was really interested in the scene of Bloodsport.
Yeah. Hey, can you guys stop talking? I want to watch Van Damme do some work here.
How about when they throw the whatever he throws into his eye and then he can't see and he starts backing up and then just goes and does what he does? Oh, that's a great scene right there.
There was a great moment where Johnny said that Christopher Cross sucks. You knew it was coming. You knew that he was going to dump on Christopher Cross because he wanted to talk about Slaughter or whatever the other heavy metal bands that he was into. But they're on the brink, Al. I need them to look, I get it. The original Karate Kid had some metaphors, but wax on, wax off, right? Paint the fence, sand the floor. It's all defense. Ooh, the big reveal. He has actually teaching karate. Wow, awesome. Come on. You're gonna
How much more respect do you have for Daniel LaRusso after these last couple of episodes?
Him telling his kids to
I had a certain amount of respect for him. Okay.
Was so stupid.
Actually get into the pond and start circling with the fish. Become one of them. It was amazing.
LaRusso's
an incredible teaching moment for a lot of people out there.
He's standing by the pond like, yeah, I just cracked the code to a nuclear fusion. Look at this. I taught these kids how to catch carp. I'm just a genius. Dude, what? You spent an episode on how to catch a fish? Go to Gelson's and buy one.
How about when Johnny grabs the sushi from his and just starts
Not bad.
Yeah, it's
pretty good. Could also tell that Daniel had never eaten a ham sandwich because when he took a bite of it
as if like what is it? What are these two pieces of bread in between meat? What, it's a sandwich.
I will say this. Yeah. Tori, the psychotic violent karate
she's good.
Girl.
Yeah, she's a good actress. Good.
Yeah, she's grown. She's grown on me quite a bit. I like her as the princess terrorizing the kids. I was all about that. That was pretty good. One quick phone call here. Let's go to Newport Beach and Ken, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Ken?
Hi guys. Hi Alan and Travis. Listen to you guys every day, and of course Alan. I always listen to Laker Talk. So when the Raiders were in L.A. last 3 years. I produced the Raiderette calendars, and we also produced a video making of a Raiderette right before every game, and some interesting stories about El Segundo and some of the interesting people there. Al Locosell is one of the greatest guys I'll ever meet. He was with the Raiders for a long time. Mary Barnes, who was the head of the Raiderettes, was a wonderful person. Al Davis, a little weird. The only bad thing that happened was I married one of the Raiderettes, and that didn't go well. So when you mention Raiders, my hand starts to shake, and I have to pull over.
Well, sounds like it might have been worth it, Ken.
Ken, the bus leaves in about an hour and a half, so just come on down. We'll be heading up to the Vegas area and watch some Sunday night football.
You can pick him up in thermal next to that giant thermometer. Ken will be waiting for you out in the middle of nowhere. You can pick him up right there. All right, Kyrie Irving made his return to the court last night. Looked pretty good along the way. Can AD have a similar impact when he comes back with the Lakers? That's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.